Wonderful. It's just wonderful to look out, as Jonathan said, and see all these lovely faces. And I know that you're smiling under those masks. We are here and we are in church in our rightful place, and we have come to worship God on this Palm Sunday. Isn't God's timing perfect? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Lord, we want to exalt your holy name today. Let's pray. Father, we cry out, Hosanna. Savior, we come before your throne of grace this day and we worship you. We exalt your holy name. We praise you for who you are, for what you've accomplished for us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Today we glorify your name. Today we honor you. Today we open up our hearts to you, Lord, and we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm so excited. Can you hear it in my voice? I'm so excited to be here today. And the worship was just incredible because it was all about Jesus. It was all about lifting his name high and glorifying him. What a privilege that it is to be here. And to all of those people joining us online today, you are here with us also. So last week, I encouraged you to ask the question, am I seeing clearly? Have you been seeing more clearly in this past week? We look to opening up our eyes to fully and truly see Jesus for who he is and the power of his majesty. That we would use this precious holy time that we have as a time of awakening, a time of renewal, a time to open up our senses to the Holy Trinity and listen to his leading and his wonderful truths. So are we seeing clearly this day? Today, we're going to look a little bit more at who he is, and most importantly, the praise and the honor that he deserves, because it is, of course, Palm Sunday, the day when our Lord Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem. And on that day, the crowds gathered to welcome Jesus, the Prince of Peace. But unlike our royals, who drive up and blacked out four befores, we know that he arrived on a donkey, just as the passage tells us. So let's look at chapter 19. It's a very traditional message today, Palm Sunday message. Chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel. I'm going to read to you now from verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on going up to Jerusalem. And he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Jesus arrived into Jerusalem just as the prophet Zechariah said he would. The prophet told of a king who would present himself to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Let's look at those verses in Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous, victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. 500 years after the prophecy, Jesus, the King, our King, did just that. his entry into Jerusalem, widely known as his triumphant entry. It certainly was a triumph. It was a triumph of humility. He wasn't riding in some shiny, glossy chariot. No, he came riding on a lowly donkey, just as was prophesied. Now, the people will have been aware of this prophecy. Of course they were, the one found in Zechariah, that the Messiah would come to Jerusalem in this very humble way. However, how many of them were unable or unwilling to see the Messiah right in front of their very own eyes? Yes, they saw a man riding on a donkey, but did they see Jesus, the King of Kings? Last week, I encouraged you to ask that question, am I seeing clearly? The question we're asking ourselves today is, do you see your King? Do you see Jesus as your King? The Gospel of John 12 tells us that a large crowd appeared with palm branches, and they waved them, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." There's no doubt in my mind how they regarded Jesus at this particular point. They hailed him as a king. This was a red carpet welcome. The palms were used in tradition for welcoming kings and those warriors coming back and returning home from battle also. Palm branches were also used during the Jewish festival as a symbol of rejoicing. So here the crowds had gathered to rejoice at the arrival of their king. The one that would rescue them. The one that would save them. That's why they cried out, "Hosanna." Because that's what Hosanna means. It means save me. Rescue me. So did they really see their king then? If that's what they were crying out. Well, they were making all the right noises anyway. But I wonder, did they really understand who it was that they were welcoming? Do you truly know the one that you welcome this morning? Did they see Jesus as the King of Kings that day? You know, there were others in Jerusalem that day, and they had no clue who Jesus was. They didn't welcome him with palm branches. In fact, they were probably the majority, the local residents or those religious pilgrims that were there for the festival. Their response was not to line the streets with palm branches. They had no intention of praising Jesus. And do you know what? There are many people in our world today that don't know who he is, that need to know who he is, that they need to know that he is the King of Kings. That's our job. However, there were those that did choose to lift up their voices as they prepared that royal welcome for Jesus. But how many of them truly saw him? They were making all the right noises. They believed Jesus was an earthly king who would overthrow the Romans and reestablish Israel to its former glory. There were those people that were waving the palm branches and creating all the noise. They were welcoming in the change that they thought that Jesus would bring, but on their terms. But I wonder, did they really see Jesus? Did they see Jesus like blind Bartimaeus did last week? For if they truly saw Jesus, where were their shouts for mercy? Were they even concerned about their sin, or were they just concerned with overthrowing the government and getting their own way? Who did they really believe Jesus to be? Who was it they saw in front of them that day? For if they truly had eyes to see, I wonder if their response would have been different. We know from Scripture, well, Jesus knew what was in their hearts. He knew their intentions. Scripture tells us that as he looked over Jerusalem, he wept. Not just a cry. This is a weeping. This is sorrow pouring out of our master. Luke says as he approached Jerusalem that he saw the city and he wept over it. And he says these words in Luke's gospel. If you, even you, had a known this day, what would bring you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. Why was Jesus weeping? They were hailing him as king. It was the Passover festival. It was a time of rejoicing. Why was there such sorrow? Jesus, unlike the crowds, he knew. He knew exactly why he was there. He knew exactly who he was. His tears, though, were not for himself. His tears were not for the suffering that he was about to endure. No, his tears were for the lost opportunity for freedom. He was weeping over that tragedy, for the tragedy over the lost chance for people to come to know their king. For he is the rescue of sinners. The Israelites assembled in Jerusalem for the Passover and they missed this opportunity. They missed the opportunity. They were visited by their Savior, the Messiah, the King of Kings. They were waving the palm branches. They were lifting their voice, but they did not know the King of Kings. They would be the same people that would cry out within a week, "Crucify him!" They would be the same people that would ask for Barabbas, a well-known criminal, to be released instead of Jesus, and Jesus to be sentenced to death by crucifixion. That was the same people that cried out, "Hosanna." This was the day that their king arrived and they could not see it. Jesus mourned over the fact that they could not see it because they did not know the time of the Messiah's coming, the day that Daniel prophesied about. Know and understand this. From this time, as the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. This day should have been a day of rejoicing because their king had arrived. That's the day that's mentioned in Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Our elder Tim prayed that this morning. And don't, you know, every day, church, every day is an opportunity for us to praise God. Every day is an opportunity for us to rejoice. However, this day that is mentioned in Psalm 118, it relates to this very special day that the Savior would enter the holy city and there would be shouts of praise. However, if human voices failed to cry out, the scripture says even the very stones would cry out the praise and the hosannas. Luke 19. Jesus knew his mission. He knew his mission was to come and to seek and to save the lost, the sinner, the lonely and the hurting. But the lost and the lonely and the sick and the sinner in Jerusalem that day, they missed it. They missed it because they were blind and they could not see. You know, the name Jerusalem means city of peace. Jeru means city. Salem means peace. But they did not know the very thing that would make for peace, or more specifically, the very one who would make way for their peace, the Prince of Peace. If only they had eyes to see that Jesus was the King, that he is the King. So who did they see? Who did they see that day if not Jesus, the Messiah? Well, the Matthew's Gospel says that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Who is this? So there's an intrigue. There's an interest. That was the question, but the response, look at the response. They believed that Jesus was a prophet. As they waved their palm branches, as they cried out, "Hosanna," they believed that he was a prophet like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Amos and one of the other Old Testament prophets. And it wasn't just the followers. You know, the disciples at times struggled with this. Remember that time back in Matthew 16 when Jesus entered Philippi and he asked his disciples, Who do you say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah and one of the other prophets. So they're saying the prophets also. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter, notice, is the only one to answer. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. Simon Peter, the only one here out of the disciples to declare that Jesus is the Messiah, the King. Peter had eyes to see. And Jesus asks us the same question this morning. Who do you say I am? Is he your King this day? Yes, he arrived to a royal welcome. Yes, he came riding on a donkey, just as the scriptures said he would. But was he truly their King? They failed to see so many truths that day. Lord, may we have eyes to see your truths. There's so much to see, church. So much more than what we're currently seeing. And on that day, there was one spectacular truth revealed about who Jesus really is. There was the donkey and the prophecy and the palm branches and all of that. But there was another truth. But the people needed eyes to see it. If we go back to the beginning of the scripture that we talked about when Jesus arrived and his disciples were given the instructions to go and find the donkey, we read that he approached Bethany and Bethpage at the hill called the Mount of Olives. That's the same mountain that Jesus prayed on, remember? What's so significant about that, though? Well, this location is hugely significant. Bethany and Bethpage are on the Mount of Olives that looks out across the valley to Jerusalem. Now, I've never been there, but apparently the views are magnificent, spectacular, and it's all lit up and you can see it at night. And well, the scriptures record that Jesus was here. We read that in the scriptures that he spent time in this very place. However, what's very interesting, church, is that many, many, many years before, the prophet Ezekiel, away back in the Old Testament, he had a vision. He had a vision, and he saw the glory of God rise up from the temple. The temple in Jerusalem, you see, they believed that God dwelled in the temple. And Ezekiel saw the glory of God leave the temple. Let's read it. The glory of the Lord went up from within the city and stopped above the mountain east of it. The mountain east of it. The mountain east of it is, of course, the mountain where Bethany and Bethpage are situated. We're talking about the Mount of Olives, the very place where Jesus came from and made his way to. He left there and he made his way to Jerusalem, to the holy city. Do you see it? All those years after Ezekiel's vision, Jesus made his way from the Mount of Olives and he went to the city of Jerusalem. You see, we overlook this location. We overlook the truth. Church, Jesus is not just a prophet. Jesus is not just a holy man. Jesus is not just a miracle worker. Jesus is the glory of God. We sang it earlier. And as he left Bethany, as he went to Jerusalem, where did he go? Where did he go, church? We know he went to the temple. Remember, he turned the tables up in righteous anger. He left Bethany and Bethpage, and he entered the city of Jerusalem, and he went to the temple. Church, the glory of God was returning to the temple. Does that not excite you today? That the glory of God had returned. The King of Kings had returned. Amen. Amen. Do you see it, church? The King had returned. Do you see him as your King? He is Jesus, the Messiah. He is the only one that can save us. He is the only one, as I said last week, that can forgive our sins. Romans 3 verse 23, we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. Jesus is the only pure and spotless one. He is the glory of God. He is the exact representation of God. And the glory of God had returned to the temple. And he therefore deserved all the honor and all of the glory, as they missed it. They missed that opportunity to praise the returning King. So in hearing this morning, church, is Jesus your King? I wonder, if he is your King, do you serve him as your King? You know, I've only met one member of the royal family. It was many, many years ago, but I remember the welcome that the princess received as we lined the shipyard waving flags and waiting in line for hours. And then when she arrived, there was loud cheers and everybody bowed and curtsied, and some people spoke to her and shook her hand. But I remember that she was greeted with such a welcome, with such respect. Now, as I pondered that through the week, I thought about the fact that many people have probably forgotten about that day many, many years ago, back in the 80s. However, those that turned out that day, I wonder how many of them have met another member of the royal family since. You see, it was probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity never to see another royal member again. Well, Jesus, our King, he doesn't just waltz into our life once and never to be seen again. His presence, church, is with us always. He is omnipresent. He is your ever-present King. He is with you now. He is with you always. He will be with you to the very end of the age. And he therefore deserves to be served as a King. The way he deserves to be served and the way he expects us to serve is the exact way that he demonstrated to us. He showed us. He humbled himself, the Bible tells us, Philippians 2 verse 8. He humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus demonstrated servant leadership. The fact that he rode into Jerusalem in a lowly donkey in itself illustrates his humility. And there's so much more that we can learn from Jesus and his examples. We see his compassion. We see his love. We watch in the scriptures the way that he responded to the interruptions with patience and love. We read about those very special moments where he got down and he washed his disciples' feet, when he got down in the dust with the sick and the sinner, when he ate with the sinners. Jesus demonstrated to us how we are to serve one another and how we are to serve him with that same passionate, passionate love, the way that our King showed us. And not only are we to serve him wholeheartedly, but we are to praise him and we are to worship him wholeheartedly. He's not interested in man's empty praise. He's not interested in us waving our palm branches today and then walking away and forgetting about him tomorrow. No, he deserves all of our praise and all of the glory. He is Jesus. He deserves it all. Just look how Mary from Bethany worshiped Jesus. I'm not going to read it all to you because I think I've read it, I don't know how many times. I love this story. It just proves how much she loved Jesus and how Mary believed that Jesus was her King. While Jesus was in Bethany at a dinner at Simon the leper's house, Mary opened up this very expensive jar of pure nard perfume and she poured it on the Master. Jesus says that she was preparing him for his burial, which we know is about to take place, the death on the cross and his death and resurrection. We're going to look at that and celebrate that next week. And this is what Mary was doing. But those other people at the dinner, they were annoyed. They were annoyed at the waste of money that they believed that she was wasting this perfume. We know it's Mary from Bethany. She's the sister of Martha and Lazarus. It tells you that in an earlier scripture in John 11. But she didn't care. She didn't care that it was a waste of money. She didn't care that they were looking at her and complaining at the waste of money. You see, she was serving her king. And there was no perfume. No perfume that was expensive enough for her king. Because he was worth it. He is worth it all. Do we serve Jesus this way? Do we present ourselves at the Master's feet and worship him with every breath in our body? Jesus is not just an earthly king. He is the King of Kings, the King of all kings, and he deserves all your glory, all the glory and all of the praise. So many people at this time saw Jesus as a consumer king. What they could get from him, what he would do for them, how he would overthrow the government and make a way for their plans and their intentions, that he would accomplish what they wanted. And do you know what? Sometimes we can be a bit like that. We can come to God with our shopping list of prayers, or we come to God to see what we can get, or we come to church and we want to get something from Jesus today. And do you know what? That's okay, because God does want to bless you, church. He's a generous king. He's a compassionate king. He's a loving king, and he wants to hear your prayers. Of course he does. However, he's not a consumer king. That's not his purpose. It's not his purpose. He is the rescue for sinners. You know, if Jesus were never to bless me ever again, and that's not going to happen, because he blesses me every moment of every day just by having breath in my body. But if Jesus was never to bless me again, I would still praise him with every part of my being for what he's already done. He died for me. He set me free. He died for you to set you free. And he deserves all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And worship, church, is not about us. Not about us for a minute. Yeah, we enjoy the songs and we enjoy lifting our hearts, but it's about him. It's about honoring him. It's all about Jesus. Do you agree? Do you agree that it's all about Jesus? Amen. Let's be a church then. Let's be a church that serve him as a king. You know, let's be a church, as we heard at the start of the year from Joshua, a church that obeys our King's commands. What does he tell us to do? Well, he told the disciples many truths on the lead up to his death. Spend time this week reading those well-known scriptures. But one commission he gave them, for instance, was the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is one of our King's commands, that we are to go and we are to make disciples, to go out and tell others that he's the King of Kings. That's why I'm preaching this sermon today, so that the world knows that Jesus is the King of Kings. He has given us that authority in his name to go out and share that truth of who he is. Mentioned earlier, there are many people in our world today that don't know that. So go this Easter, go out and share the truth of who he is, that he is the King of Kings. Get excited, get stirred up this coming week, this Holy Week. Tell the world that Jesus is the answer. Tell the world that Jesus is their hope. Tell the world that Jesus is the deliverer, that Jesus is the King of Kings. It's not about chocolate bunnies. It's not about chocolate bunnies. It's not about colorful direct decorations. It's about Jesus, the King of Kings. So go out there this week with that same passion, with that same hope in your hearts, and share with the world that Jesus is the King of Kings. You know, I mentioned earlier that the Jewish people believed that God dwelled in the temple. And as we heard how the glory of God returned to the temple when Jesus arrived, well, the wonderful truth for us today, it's great to be back in the temple. However, the temple is within you. Jesus is in you. If you've given your life to Jesus, and I hope you have, the best decision you'll ever make, But if you've given your life to Jesus, then Jesus lives in you. The glory of God is in you. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit, amen, dwells in your midst. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead that we will celebrate next week, lives in each and every one of us. We don't need to go to the temple, although it's great to come together in corporate worship. But Jesus is with you always. His story, it's alive in you. It's alive in you. So church, as we come to the end, are we seeing clearly? Do you see Jesus as your King? If you do, then ask him this morning, am I serving you as my King? Today on this Palm Sunday 2021, let this be an awakening for our souls. Let us open up our senses to Jesus, as we lift up our voices, as we wave our hands to him today, as we cry out, Hosanna, we cry out to Jesus, our resurrected Savior, the King of Kings. Let's pray. Father God, we come together on this Palm Sunday and we turn our eyes towards you. We thank you for your living words. Forgive us, Lord, that when we don't serve you and honor you as you deserve, Lord God, today we choose to bow down before you and worship you. We believe who you truly are, the King of Kings, and we lift up our hearts, we lift up our voices, we surrender our lives, and we praise you for your glory and for your majesty, for you are our King. And we choose to worship you today with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our Savior King, in Jesus' name, amen.